Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, I'm pretty sure last week we covered everything we've been doing for the last 8 days or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm on vacation and you're working and we're just kind of piddling around with games. But there was a story you thought about after we recorded last week's show that you were really hoping to touch on. So why don't you go ahead and jump in on that one now?
Well, it would be rude of me to laugh, but Zuckerberg lost apparently $700 billion with his Meta setup. It's not going as well as he planned.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought it?
Well,
okay, what is Meta? I ask you.
Meta is a mega corporation that encompasses a bunch of other smaller, by comparison, corporations such as Facebook, Oculus, and Instagram, other things like that. It's mostly seems focused towards social media, which is where they've been getting the vast majority of their funding through like advertising off of Instagram and Facebook, but also reaching out into other tech sectors, like with Oculus, trying to be innovative. And that's what tripped them up with the metaverse.
Because it sounds to me that what I've been hearing is they were trying to create a platform where you could log into it and then go, you know, shift over and play this game over here, and then you could take the same character and go play this game over here.
Yes, that was what they were calling the metaverse.
The problem is, it's Zuckerberg. He's the face of Meta.
Yes.
And when you think of gaming and fun and, you know, just really, you know, influential gaming moments, not once in the darkest depths of your brain would you ever equate fun gaming and Zuckerberg. I mean, if you want to sleep, you think about Zuckerberg. He will put you to fucking sleep. He is just dull.
Yes.
I mean, if he was a color, the level of dull would be a black fucking hole kind of dull.
If you were a color, he'd be light beige. Yes, I know. But I couldn't sleep if I thought about Zuckerberg, because every time I look at him, it looks like his eyes blink sideways like a lizard.
Well, there have been, you know, memes about him being a reptilian.
Yes. He and I don't mean to dunk on the way someone looks, and I understand he's probably neurodivergent. And I'm not trying to jump on him for anything like that. I myself am neurodivergent, so I'm not trying to belittle him in that way. I'm just saying he kind of creeps me out. But they kind of fucked up. They were trying to get investment for this whole metaverse thing. Trying to push Meta as being, oh, we're so far ahead than everyone else. We're on top of this. We're going to be the metaverse that is really... Because there's lots of people trying to do something along these lines. They're all trying to be Ready Player One. Right?
Except we don't have the technology for that.
Right.
Really.
But they put out a pitch video a while back that had Zuckerberg and another person, I believe a woman, who were in their metaverse. They were, you know, animated figures of them that looked like them, kind of like the little Miis that you can have on the Switch, your little animated character, right?
Right.
Kind of like that. And at one point, Zuckerberg jumped in it. And they were saying that, oh, this is all done in real time and all this sort of thing. You're in your character, you're in VR, and you can jump and things like that. And people bought in because it showed, oh, they're so far ahead than everyone else. But it came out a couple weeks ago that was actually motion capture video. That they can't do that yet.
So they Milli Vanillied it.
They lied. Or weren't completely honest about it. It was a misunderstanding. Is the way I'm given to understand it. I also understand that just a few days later, the stock crashed because Facebook and Instagram are not bringing in the money for advertising that they used to. And that was the backbone of Meta's income. They were banking on investment into the metaverse. And apparently, people went, oh, maybe this VR thing isn't quite as ready as we thought it was. Because it isn't.
Yeah.
It's a great platform for video games. Don't get me wrong. And it has definitely potential for remote robotic surgery. I've seen some really cool things where you could have a robot surgeon that can do very detailed work that is being controlled by a doctor who is not in place, say on a battlefield. You could have the doctor using VR to control the robot. There are
and
still
you pray there's no lag.
Yeah, there are still questions about lag and things like that. But if you have a medic on hand to assist, to staunch bleeding and such and so forth, not necessarily a bad idea.
Except for when you get neutered by accident.
Like I said, there should be a medic around. There's like, no, do not cut off the testicles. Knock the hands away. You know what I'm saying? So there is certainly potential in VR. I absolutely agree. But like you said, we're not there yet. This is not the time where you're focusing on trying to get direct investment for it now, trying to say, oh, it's just around the corner, because it isn't. Well, it's great for when you can put out a handful of video games. But you need every new game to be developing for VR. That's their first thing in mind is we have to make this VR and also available to the other platforms.
Well, and
but they
it has
have
to also,
have it in mind.
It has to be, they need to have, not just AAA games, but it has to be a AAA game that everybody is waiting on.
Right.
I'm talking, you know, the next Skyrim kind of game. The next Breath of the Wild. The next whatever. It has to be something that has a massive appeal.
If they had built Starfield from the ground up with VR in mind and initially said, we're bringing out Starfield and it's coming out to VR and also other platforms, but we envision it as a VR experience, that would be something. And if almost every major game said, we developed this with VR in mind, and keep also in mind, not, oh, and we're thinking PlayStation 5's VR, or, oh, we're thinking Microsoft's VR, or this company's VR, or that company. We have this built with the Quest in mind. If everybody was focusing towards, at least on PC wise, was focusing towards the Quest, not everybody else, just not splitting the fan base, focusing it towards the Quest line of VR, then, oh my God, that would be huge. Then all they'd have to do is build and a connective tissue infrastructure for the metaverse that allows you to go from this game to that game to that game.
Mm-hmm. What I'm still stuck on is the amount of money he lost. How much money did Disney pay to get the Star Wars franchise?
$4 billion.
Right. How much did they pay to get the BioWare? I think it was just BioWare, wasn't it?
Disney?
No, not Disney. When Microsoft bought BioWare.
I don't know.
Was it like
Bethesda?
Yeah, Bethesda.
$7 billion.
Right. With that $700 billion. How many game studios, how many of these heavy hitters could they have picked up?
Well, and
when you say, hey, the metaverse is going to have, you know, all the rights to all of these games, and you could be making Disney, you could make not Disney, you could be making Star Wars movies to help fund your metaverse. You could be putting out games from Bethesda for these, you know, that will pay for the metaverse. You could have, you know, some money generators coming in. I mean, you could buy out Blizzard. You could buy out all of these big fucking, you know, franchise, you know, things and all these massive studios that, you know, are known for great games, and then you've got yourself a stable for the metaverse.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. Facebook, before they formed Meta, which is kind of like when Google formed Alpha as a overriding company that owned Google and other properties. Before Facebook did that with Meta, they had already bought Oculus. So this is several years ago, probably upwards towards a decade. I don't remember exactly when, but they've had Oculus for some time. If they had spent that level of money on video games, on buying up properties and, you know, studios to develop for the Oculus, primarily, also develop for other platforms, but primarily for VR,
mm-hmm,
it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to say that they could have bought video games. They would have bought the vast majority of video games. Now, they would not have been allowed to because of antitrust and lawsuits, but...
No, but they could have also gotten into partnerships with, say, Microsoft, so that now the games are going to be exclusive for these two systems.
Yes.
The Xbox and for the Oculus.
Right. They would have driven content to their platform. Right now, people make VR stuff either as shovelware. There's very few that are VR first. And anyone else is basically, you know, it's an afterthought. Superhot, for example, great game for VR. It was originally built for PC. And people went, you know, this would be really good on VR. So they went and redeveloped it and made a version for VR. And they were right. It was a really good game for VR. But that's not what it was originally developed for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their problem. They're an afterthought. And no metaverse. None. No matter whether it's based off the Oculus or any other system, none of them are ever going to catch on. They're never going to be Ready Player One until VR stops being an afterthought. And until then, expect to lose $700 billion in a day. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Lizard Man lost all the money.
I saw it and I laughed.
I was like, wow, he had that kind of money? Now, he didn't. It's all on paper. It was stock value.
Right.
But still, effectively, Meta went from this massive, you know, overarching company to a freaking shell of itself because they were being held up by Helium. And the Helium went away.
I don't know. It sounds more like they were held up by hydrogen and the hydrogen caught fire.
Well,
and their Hindenburg went down.
Yeah. But when you're basing your stuff off of investment in Facebook, which is primarily old people, or Instagram, which used to be big, but TikTok is where it's at now. So, yeah, there's just not the money in that advertising anymore. And again, it kind of didn't help that they found out that Zuckerberg's little metaverse wasn't quite as far along as he was implying. Anywho, he's a supervillain.
Get on the show now?
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, we have a theme this show, kind of a superhero theme. And, well, it looks like a supervillain in Zuckerberg got his comeuppance.
Well, and there's also Kanye. He lost a lot of money, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's mostly because he couldn't keep his mouth shut.
That's the problem.
Dipstick.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Sure.
Roll the dice to see if I'm drunk.
Okay, hey there, Bielus.
Hey.
I saw an interesting article recently over on Dicebreaker that, I wasn't expecting. Have you ever heard of the old superhero tabletop role-playing game, Mutants and Masterminds?
Yeah.
It's always been one of those... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it was one of those games that was a little too crunchy for my taste. At least that, the edition I was told about.
Yeah, I think the original editions were fairly crunchy. I never got into it because I was always, more of a Silver Age Sentinels guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game we used to play. We had the one that used not its original engine, but was...
It was a D20?
Yeah, it was the D20 edition that used D&D 3.5 rules. And that's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with that game because it was a system we knew. I don't remember what the original system was called, but one of the players in the group, he bought that edition and was all confused while we were talking about 3.5 rules. I was like, dude, you bought the wrong book. Anyway, it was fine. He was able to catch on because it was 3.5. But, anyway, Mutants and Masterminds has always been one of those games that's always been on the periphery, as far as I could see. It had lots of fans, but it was just one I never really got into. Obviously, you didn't get into. Because, well, let's be honest, superhero games just aren't as popular as other fantasy role-playing games, are they?
Not even close.
I mean, they got their place. For a while there, I really, really, really wanted to get Heroes Unlimited, which is possibly the best game for the Palladium system, from what I understand. Even better than Rifts. It's still using the Palladium system, though. So, that was my main thing. I kept thinking, man, I should really buy that, but... Yeah, it uses the Palladium system, so never mind. I've got other superhero games. And when your backup superhero game, this is back years ago, the only other superhero game I had at the time, it's before I bought Silver Age Sentinels, was the old yellow box edition of Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah, that doesn't work well.
It's one of the worst video game, sorry, not video games, one of the worst tabletop role-playing games I've ever played. The only thing the only thing I had going for it was it had the Marvel license, and you could play in the Marvel universe. So, and we were really into X-Men back then, so it was good for that. Just the system was horrific. It was kind of like chill. In that way, for some reason, back in the mid 80s, a lot of tabletop role playing games went with, you had to roll dice and compare to a chart, and you know, there was different stages and tiers, and it's like, can we just you have an attribute and a skill and you roll a dice and you're done, like reasonable people do. Anyway, so then there's Mutants and Masterminds. And like I said, never really got into it. I have other games, but I understand it's got a big fan base. Well, according to this article on Dicebreaker, their third edition is getting reprinted. Now, like I said, I really don't know anything about this third edition, but it's being crowdfunded on Kickstarter. And, I mean, I haven't even looked it up on Kickstarter to see where it's at. Okay, third edition, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. It's got 23 days to go. It's about a little over halfway to its goal of 30,000. So, it's working on it.
Yeah, but that doesn't say much about, you know, a rabid fan base if it's $30,000 and they're only halfway there.
Yeah, they're about 16,000 and change. As of the recording of this show, by the time you hear this, it's going to be more like I can math. About 15 days left, so it'll be about halfway through. Hopefully they'll be way closer to where they're going.
Well, for their sake, I hope the us talking about it helps.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be nice. I want to see more games coming back. And a game like Mutants and Masterminds, which I remember having a big fan base, I'd like to see that game come back. You know?
Well, I mean, it's already doing fairly well here. We've got a... There's a live play. A live action group. It's the Titan City Chronicles.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah.
And they're offering these at cheaper, you know, lower value than they normally would cost. And scrolling down here, it doesn't appear to be, let me double check, trailers, Heroes Handbook, fiction. No, that's actually pretty good value. $100 for all of the print and PDF of the Heroes Handbook, gadget guides, power profiles. And for $150, you can get all the novels and the books. So that's not bad. So, and it, the best thing, they're not print on demand. It looks like they're actually printed books. Strange how that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Not to throw a little jab at somebody, but I'm just saying. Anyway, point is, it's not as a, you know, explosive growth as I'm used to seeing in a Kickstarter, but I've only seen this mentioned on one website, being Dicebreaker. So, yeah, not that we have a huge reach. We certainly don't have the reach of a Dicebreaker, but I don't mind getting the word out on this because I absolutely want to see these games get, you know, out there.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's a game I'm not going to play, the more people who are playing games, you know, playing tabletop games, the better it is for the whole industry.
Exactly. But with that all in mind, it got me thinking. If they're bringing Mutants and Masterminds back, getting it a reprint on its third edition, what are some games we wouldn't mind seeing coming back, maybe with updates to their engines or just straight out, hey, that's an old tabletop role play, an old superhero tabletop role playing game that I really liked. I'd like to see it come back, whether it's in its old form or given a fresh coat of paint.
Well, mine would, of course, be Silver Age Sentinels, being the only other superhero game that we ever really invested any time in or energy in.
Yeah. And like I'd said earlier, we did play some Marvel superheroes, but
mm-hmm.
God, that game was bad. At least the yellow box. I understand there's been another Marvel superheroes game, or a Marvel game anyway, since then.
Actually, they have it towards it. Marvel Multiverse Role-Playing Game.
Right.
That's the latest one, I think.
Yeah. I know nothing about it, so...
Mm-hmm.
But what makes Silver Age Sentinels pop to you?
It was just a lot of fun. It's simple to use. I mean, it was just a D20 game, and that's what Mutants and Masterminds 3E is going to be. It's another D20 game.
Is it a D20? I didn't see what engine they were using.
Well, down in the description here, it says players use a single D20 for their rolls.
That would sound about right.
So.
Now, I've got my copy of Silver Age Sentinels here. And I will say, I really do like how it's laid out. But then again, games that were based using the D20 system off of a... which was based off of the SRD for Dungeons & Dragons 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really unique, interesting system. You built a class. You didn't really have subclasses. You individualized your character as you went along by picking up feats. And they had a whole feat trees where you had, if you wanted to get to a specific, really powerful feat, maybe you had to pick up a couple other feats and be a certain level before you could get there. So you had to kind of go in specific routes to get to where you wanted to go. But you could take, say, a gadgeteer and make it different from any other gadgeteer just by choosing which feats you wanted to detail it out with. Oh, you could go with an optimum build, or you could do something a little more individualized.
Quirky.
Yeah. Like, my powerhouse, Reed, Shazam, Superman, yada yada, could be completely different than the powerhouse over here, just because I focus towards something that makes me more like a Thor, where you might have focused more towards a Superman type. Still big, tough, able to do all kinds of stuff, but in different ways. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's just my favorite character was LED, the surfer dude with the light powers.
Yeah.
Light bulb on his, he wore a stocking cap pulled down over his face with a light bulb on it.
Yeah.
He wasn't overly bright, but he could hit hard.
Our group was very mystery men like.
Mm-hmm.
We were the also Rans. Well, you guys were. I was running the damn thing. And we had a dude who basically was toxic goo.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was funny as hell. That was the thing. This game could be, you know, done in a variety of different ways. You could run it straight on, serious ass, as serious as a heart attack, DC extended universe type, gritty superheroes. Or you could run it completely goofy and off the rails like what we did. Either way, super fun and really easy to understand.
Yep.
Now, for me, and I won't say this very often, I would go completely the opposite direction. If I can find the damn book. I had to go and move everything recently. Where did it go? Aha. If I was going to have anything come back, it'd be a little book called Blood of Heroes. This game has been out of print since the early 2000s. It is a generic superhero tabletop role-playing game. We played some of it with some friends of ours up in Portland for a little while. I remember it irritating the crap out of you and I because one of the other players played a speedster. And he would basically win all the battles before anybody else got in action. Because he just sat there with the book and hyper-specialized and min-maxed his character to make it effectively so powerful that he couldn't be defeated. He'd one-shot everything. Which was kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. Now, for other grognards, you might remember the ancient tabletop role-playing game, DC Heroes. It was quite popular for its time. But the company that made it lost the license, and it shut down. Blood of Heroes is that game. Just it's had all the DC stripped out. And it is really flippin' great. You can make the most specific, awesome superhero ever. But here's the problem. Making your characters sucks. Unless you are into traveler level annoyance. Unless you like that level of just gritty, dig into the rules. Oh, I tried. I tried to play this for my solo actual play. I was so excited till I went to go make a character and I changed the schedule and said, fuck no. I'd rather play something else. I would love to see Blood of Heroes come back. But fix the system. I want to see it as detailed as hell. Make it detailed. But you can use an engine that isn't so annoyingly crunchy. It can be done. It's been so long, people don't remember DC Heroes anymore. Hell, they don't remember Blood of Heroes anymore. Bring it back. Nice generic superhero game with a better fucking engine. But all the abilities, literally anything you want to make, you can make with this. Anything. You can do that kind of with Silver Age Sentinels. You can absolutely do it with Blood of Heroes. And that's what I loved about it. I mean, any crazy idea you could come up with for a superhero, you could figure out a way to do it here. It's that detailed. But unfortunately, it's that detailed! And now I forgot where I had the damn thing put. I'll put it away later. I have too many books.
No, really?
I know, right?
Who'd have thunk it?
And more are coming. With any luck, by the time we record again, I will have at least two more role-playing games to talk about. But we're getting off topic.
Yes, yes, we are.
Neither of them are superhero games. Anyway, so do you have any other thoughts on superhero games?
Not really.
Okie doke, then we can move on.
Sounds good to me.
Are we done with this shit yet?
All right, so that's about it for this week. Did you have anything you'd like to talk about before we go, sir?
Just, I guess, anxiously awaiting the next expedition on No Man's Sky.
Oh, yes?
They're just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played one yet.
You haven't gotten to do one yet.
I really need to, like, I'm on vacation right now. You'd think I'd find the time. But I am pathetic and sad and doing other things. So, yeah. Anyway, there was one thing I'd like to talk about before we go.
Sure.
Have you heard about Marvel Snap?
Are you talking about Thanos' snap?
No. No.
Okay.
You know Hearthstone, though, right?
I know of it. I've never played it. It's a Blizzard product.
Yes. Yes. I played it before the whole Blizzard thing came to light and became this huge thing. So it's been a while since I played it. But the former game director of Hearthstone now works for a different company. And Second Dinner Studios, they made Marvel Snap. And this Ben Brody was the former game director of Hearthstone, like I said. They are in charge over Marvel Snap. From its description, like I said, I haven't played it. It sounds a lot like Hearthstone. You have different turns. Every turn, you get an additional point of energy to use. These points of energy can be spent on different cards. You have only 12 cards in your deck, and you battle against other players. The cards don't fight each other. You use them to attack the player. your opposing player. You can have up to 6 power, so you can have some really powerful cards, but you want to kind of balance it in your deck so that you have more quicker cards and a few big heavy hitters, right?
Mm-hmm.
The games are short. They're easy to just jump into, you know, like a 5-minute game here or there. They're quick for a quick lunch battle sort of thing. And since it's a mobile game and on Steam, you can play it on PC as well. It looks pretty. Now, I'm looking over the Polygon article on it. But what got my main attention about it was that it's free. And you immediately would think, oh, it's another free-to-play mobile game. Right? Apparently yeah. Not. It is not pay-to-win, at least not yet. It's got a season pass, which gives you some rewards. But every card in the game is unlockable without spending money. You cannot spend money for specific cards or to craft specific cards with in-game currency. It's all random. So you can play it for free and get somewhere, or you can get a season pass that gives you some rewards, but you still, everybody else can get there just by playing the game. I've heard that tune before. Rift. I'm talking to you. That's the way they started on their free-to-play. That's why I said, it's free-to-play, and it's not pay-to-win yet. And apparently it doesn't lean huge into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It just goes everywhere in Marvel. So they'll probably do stuff that's boosted by a specific movie that's coming out. Maybe they'll lean into that kind of as a cross promotion.
You mean kind of like the upcoming Black Panther movie?
Maybe they will. I don't know. But that would be a good thing to do. Hey, yeah, Black Panther 2's coming out. Hey, we've got some Black Panther content in the game that we're featuring right now. That sort of thing, right? Also the same with their television series and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They totally could do that. But they're also going all over Marvel, covering stuff that isn't part of the MCU yet. And there's some weird-ass shit that they have access to. Different variants and whatnot. Different timelines. Could be really interesting.
Depends upon how it's handled, though.
Yeah. My main thing is, I loved Hearthstone. I thought Hearthstone was a huge amount of fun. It had pretty much most of the intricacies of Magic the Gathering, only in a simpler game that was quicker and easier to play. I really enjoyed it until Blizzard shit the bed and I won't play it anymore. This isn't Blizzard. It looks like it's got a lot of that Hearthstone feel, though, but Marvel. I've been meaning to get into it, but wifey got sick, so kind of difficult. I'm hoping they put it on the Switch, though. That would be pretty freaking awesome.
You want everything put on the Switch.
Well, it's the console I use. And it pretty much does mobile gaming, and this was developed primarily for mobile. So, You would think Switch would be a good place for it, right?
You'd think.
Anyway, what thoughts do you have on it?
Well, I don't play many mobile games. I mean, it looks okay. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. Well, it's on Steam, so it's not necessarily a play it on your phone game. You can play it on your computer.
I know.
And I know you do like
finding time to play the games that I want to play.
Yes, that's the big problem.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get around to reinstalling Secret World Legends for Halloween, and I love their Halloween content. I couldn't be bothered. I was too busy. So I'm not installing this. If it were on the Switch, yeah, I could see myself going, okay, sure. Especially if, even if they went, yeah, we're going to have to charge you a few bucks. Okay. Maybe it's free on the phone, but I got to pay $5 on the Switch. So that, you know, Papa Nintendo gets their cut. Whatever. I could do that. Anyway, apparently it's super popular right now. And I have a theory on that. Maybe it's so popular, not because it's pretty and fun and whatnot. Maybe a lot of it is because it's a lot like Hearthstone, and a lot of people don't want to play Hearthstone because of Blizzard.
Well, could be possible.
I mean, that's what my draw is to it, besides it being Marvel. But to be honest, I really ought to at least put this on my phone and give it a try. Maybe talk about it next week.
Sure.
We'll see. I mean, I'll be honest. When I saw this as an article, I was like, I gotta throw this on my phone. And I gotta give this a try. And then we can talk about it. And it'll be great. I'll be able to give my own in-person thing. And then wife has to go to the hospital. And well, so much for that.
Yeah. Your wife's more important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I feel a little bad that I am not able to give a complete review, you know? But Polygon says it's good, so I guess take
it. Looked on Steam, you could check the Steam reviews.
You know what? That's absolutely true. Marvel Snap on Steam. It's all reviews, very positive. Let's see. Recommended. Not recommended. Recommended, 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 recommended. Basically, there's, I could browse all the reviews, but on the first page, there's only one that's negative, saying, do not play on Steam right now. There are too many issues, ones that can literally cost you money and time, i.e. Google Play not syncing correctly, sudden loss of progression, no longer being able to load into the game at all, double charges on purchases that aren't refunded, with a terrible customer service team, to be worth playing on Steam. They should not have released it on Steam in this state, especially with issues that can actually cost you money.
So it's not the game in particular, it's just the Steam iteration of it.
Right. It sounds almost like, because he's mentioning Google Play, that there's a... they're connecting accounts to your Google Play account so you can bounce between playing it on your phone or playing it on Steam. And that integration might be being the problem. So, oh, and a developer responded to that one. Let me see the response. Hello, we're sad to hear you had a bad experience in our game. Please don't hesitate to contact us through private message on Facebook or in-game customer service. We will have quick and detailed check the problem as soon as possible. As for the ineffective feedback channel you mentioned, we will put extra emphasis on it and make key adjustments to optimize it. Thank you again for your feedback. And specifically, they were talking about they've been trying to contact their Discord support channel, and they were hoping to God they would see a response. So, sounds like it would respond. Oh, wait. It's in early access. It was an early access review. So, yeah. I'm sorry. It's early access.
You're getting upset because it's early access?
Shit gets broken early access. That's just the way it is. No. Granted, if it's costing you money, they absolutely need to make that right. Double charges, that sort of thing. But they're acting like it's a full release, and it was early access.
Well, you really shouldn't be able to buy anything in early access.
True. But if it's on full release for, let's say, mobile, and mm-hmm. they want you to have that cross-play connectivity where you can play it on your phone, and then you get off your phone and you play it on the computer, there's going to have to be some ability for you to be able to use Google Play for charges and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I get that. But at the same time, early access, bitch. What now?
Kind of a thing.
This is why I don't buy early access games.
I just know to expect problems.
Right. You're paying into a beta.
Uh-huh.
I've done that before on MMOs. It is what it is. You expect shit to break. I would sit there on an MMO. I'd buy it, you know, you prepay into it or whatever. Pre-order, and they give you access to the beta. If it was a live game and the game crashed, I would be irritated. If the game crashed during the beta, I would laugh. Even if I was in the middle of something important, because beta. It's the same thing here.
That's the whole point of a beta.
But now, if I was buying something with real money in that beta, which I wouldn't because it's a beta, but if you had to, you whipped out the wallet, you're buying something, and something happens, and you get double charged, or the game crashed while you were doing so, and it screwed things up, or whatever, I would fully expect a refund on that, or to make it right,
mm-hmm.
with a reasonable amount of time, for me to make an easy contact to them with proper customer service. That's fully reasonable to expect. Beta, early access, whatever. But I gotta say, if you got into an early access game on Steam and you whipped out the wallet to buy something, sorry, I honestly don't have a lot of sympathy for you, guy. I don't. Early access.
I mean, really, what do you expect?
Shit, I mean, people
who would buy anything during early access anyways?
I don't want this to sound like victim blaming. And if, let's say, the company is at fault, they're screwing up, they're not getting it taken care of, they're not taking care of the customers, they're the ones who allowed you to buy stuff in the first place. If they're not making it right, I totally get it. You should absolutely be mad. And yet, I'm sorry, not trying to victim blame, but really, early access, wallet stays in pocket.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. And you say, oh, well, I needed it because I want to be able to play on my phone and be able to play that same character on early access. Sorry. Wait till it goes live. Completely. Then, if something goes wrong, you have every app. You absolutely should be able to complain 100% because they said this connectivity would work. But it's early access and you already know it ain't ready yet. Come on now.
Testing it, that's the whole point.
It comes back to people think early access is being able to jump into a finished game early. No, it's a early access because it's not ready yet. You jumped in early, you got it cheaper because you're buying into a beta. In some cases, an alpha build.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, there have been games that were in early access for over a year before they went live.
You mean, Ark? How about anyone? Star Citizen? It's been like 10 years.
Yeah, but that's not on Steam. I'm talking about like Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Ark was in early access for years, and then they put out the next version of it, which was supposed to be an expansion, but they decided, nope, we're going to sell that as a separate game. And the original was still in early access. So, yeah, never trust an early access game, in my opinion. Anyway, that just took it off the rails. I'm sorry, but everybody else is saying this game is awesome. I'm going to go with those guys. I'm sorry. Especially, you could say, oh, well, they bought the reviews. They went and it's all just fake reviews. There's over 1,300 of them. Do you think some small indie company, development house, is buying that many reviews? Nah, dog, not on Early Access Edition. Sorry. Anywho, I think I should jump on my phone and download that. It's free, man. What the hell?
No, I'm not saying anything against the game.
I just put in Marvel and it came up Marvel Snap. Install. I don't know why I'm playing it yet. Probably not a good idea.
Kind of have to wrap up the show.
That's true. Anyway, speaking of which, you probably should.
Probably should.
Oh. Yep. Add music, and I'm like, nope, can't have that. Anyway, so until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Palis.
Generic catchphrase ending. Look at that, I remembered it 2 weeks in a row without having to write it down.
Ooh.
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly fuck off.